We heard a bill yesterday in the committee that would ban the use of seed treatments by farmers here in Minnesota, and we tried to point out that that just doesn't work. And under the legislation, we would have to get kind of a verification or permission, actually, from the Department of Agriculture to be able to somehow verify that we have to use treated seed. And, you know, the timing doesn't work if you have to verify this before you get your seed, and conditions may be different in the spring. So, you know, we do it for a reason. We use seed treatments to help guarantee the crop gets up out of the ground growing. And I think we won't let that get out of committee. So we're safe for another year again, but some folks just keep trying to take those things away from farmers as they try to do their job.
So what is their concern, Paul? Is that clear?
Well, you know, it's a chemical, and the chemical is called a neonicotinoid, and you know, honeybees is a big concern, and you know, some planters, some corn planters, will have a vacuum or a system that blows some dust out, and some say that dust can be lethal. And we have to be careful with it. You know, we can't leave treated seed lying around on the ground, that type of thing, for animals to ingest it, that type of thing. So it just takes a careful use by farmers, and we need to keep that available for us. But the big thing is that it's a chemical that would have some negative impacts if it's ingested by insects that shouldn't be ingesting those types of things.
I know, Paul, this is totally my opinion, but you have people in St. Paul concerned about if there's a cup of seed that's spilled in a field. But, you know, when you're driving in St. Paul, just look at the road ditches or anything like that. How much garbage and debris is there? And that's, for some reason, gets overlooked. But that's just my opinion, Paul.
Well, I would agree. And the thing that has amazed me down here, being in St. Paul in the wintertime, if they get a half an inch of snow or whatever amount, I'm not quite sure, but driving up to the Capitol, the amount of salt they use down here to keep the roads from getting slippery and icy, and all of that winds up directly in the Mississippi River. And we don't hear a lot of negative talk about that either. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that ideally could be maybe done better, but you have to be realistic and do things the best way you can and have an economic return and make it valuable. So we will keep trying to do things the best way.
I know in the last 12 hours, we've heard a lot about this money assistance going out for possible residents being evicted here in the state. That seems to be making the news headlines here in the last 10, 12 hours or so.
Yeah, it has. It's not in any committee that I hear about, but there's going to be a lot of bills that do that type of thing. And, you know, there was disruption here when the ICE raids were going full steam. And we heard from the city of Minneapolis that they wanted a substantial amount of aid. In fact, there was a bill that would provide $500,000 just to do a study on how much aid is needed. And, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, some of these businesses closed down here voluntarily as a method of protesting. Well, if you shut down voluntarily on your own, I don't think you should get aid for losing business that day. So there's a lot of things to work out in that. And, you know, if people chose to stay home and not go to work, you know, if they had the proper verification and identification, I would assume or hope that they would be checked and then be allowed to get to work. So that's going to have to be worked out here and see what's available and see what actually comes out of that.
Mm-hmm. Paul, when you look at the feedback you get from your district, overwhelmingly, are there any topics that continue to come up?
Well, one thing that kind of interesting that's kind of arisen here, and especially I think after the budget forecast came out much more positive than we had expected, that there may actually be some money to do things with here. And, you know, the way that the state does its accounting, if we cut taxes in any area, that, of course, means less revenue coming in, which counts kind of the same thing as an expenditure, like you're spending money, but we're reducing income. And the thing that's being talked about quite a bit is the high cost of license tabs. You know, the 23 DFL trifecta raise the tab fees, and And they're really high, much, much higher than our neighboring states. And if you noticed your tab fees didn't go down the last year, that's because of this increase in how they figure the tax. And also, they're not going to decrease as fast as they usually did over that 10-year depreciation cycle. So I'm hearing a lot about that. You know, give some of this money back or use it wisely. And I think the best way that we can utilize some of these so-called surplus funds right now in this current biennium is to lower taxes somehow. There's some tax provisions that we'd certainly like to see passed, and that's the best use, I think, for some additional money going back to the folks that paid it in the first place.
Wouldn't, by definition, if we have a surplus, doesn't that mean we are taxing too much?
That's a very good point. And, you know, there's ups and downs in these cycles, and they have to estimate and guess what's coming in. You know, there's personal income tax, there's corporate income tax, which, by the way, they're among the highest in the nation. And then we have sales tax income. So from those three main buckets, that's where the state's revenue comes in. And yes, if we have too much money here, like a couple of years ago, we had, $18 billion. I mean, that was a huge amount of money sitting here that was over-collected, and we didn't get any of that back either. Again, the trifecta chose to spend all of it and then, in fact, raise taxes on top of that. So, yeah, there's different ways of doing things, and we would certainly hope that we could do things a little bit more frugally down here at the Capitol.
Yeah, Paul, my car is 29 years old that I drive, and my tabs recently cost me $51.
Well, that's pretty reasonable. I think that's good, but I've heard I just saw a thing on if somebody bought a $50,000 vehicle over a 5-year depreciation schedule, they'd pay between $3,000 and $4,000 in tab fees. So
that's what I heard too. Yeah,
vehicles gets expensive. So much, much higher than our neighboring states.
I'm trying to keep it so I can put collector plates on it or something, Paul, and maybe save some money down the road. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. State Representative Paul Anderson joining us. Paul, too, I didn't talk to you last week, but I wanted to bring up, I was watching some video of a hearing you're at, some testifying regarding the fraud, and I think you had the questions in that committee. You were just wondering who has been, if anybody has been, what would you say, what's the best word, accounted for some of the issues there. It really seemed like you couldn't get any answer if anybody's been disciplined or anything, Paul.
Yeah, and I can understand some privacy things, but I didn't want to have any names. But how about a number? You know, if there has been dedicated proof that some of these forms that are going to funding going out, the forms have actually been redone or backdated, and you know that just shouldn't be happening, and somebody should be held accountable for that. But in that hearing that day, we asked a couple of people. And they politely kind of, you know, dodged around the question, and again couldn't come up with an answer. And I hear that from a lot of people: with what's going on down there? Why can't you stop it? And is anybody, like in private business, would be let go if they didn't perform their duties and saw a lot of money going out the door that shouldn't be going out the door?
Are you feeling better about the whole situation, or not even close yet? Still a lot of answers.
Well, you know, the governor came out with a new plan earlier this week, and it's kind of much the same. And we have a bill that's kind of tied up in a committee, well, that same committee, the Office of Inspector General, to give him total independence from the administrative or the governor's office, where a lot of these you know, the DHS, all these big state agencies work out of the governor's part of the administration here. So, and again, that one hasn't been moving ahead, so I'm not totally optimistic that we're going to get that one done, but certainly that's what we are hearing loud and clear from folks, that stop the fraud and make sure that the money that we pay in goes for the purposes that it's intended to.
You know, I'm big on analogies, Paul. It's just like playing a softball game, but only one team is keeping the book. I mean, if you had both teams keeping book, you at least can compare and come to sort of thing. And then you got your neutral umpire right there who makes the final decision. So I don't know. I could see where that would be beneficial.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I will admit that some of these programs in the millions of dollars, it gets complicated. And in some cases, their software that they use to track these things, they can't talk to each other. The different areas, different departments, there's no intercommunication. So there's a lot of things that could be improved, should be improved, and some of it involves different types of software. As all that gets more complicated, then you've got the AI, artificial intelligence, that maybe could help in some of these areas too. But we got to get a better handle on it and do a better job of watching the people's money.
Mm-hmm. State Representative Paul Anderson. Paul, finally, getting area groups coming to visit your office too here in recent weeks?
Oh, it's been really busy. And this morning there was a group down from the Fargo-Moorhead Chamber area up in the valley, and got mentioning there's a proposal for a big sustainable aviation fuel project plant up in the Moorhead area. And they're concerned that our regulations and permitting process can't move fast enough. Because, we've lost some pretty big projects to other states because they just can't get the permits in time. And that's a concern here, too, with the project up in the Moorhead area. So, again, trying to work on not making the permitting process any easier or less stringent, but just trying to speed up the timeline so people can find out what they need to do in a quicker fashion. And we get these businesses to locate here in Minnesota and help our tax base, help our farm industry, for example, in this case, and not see them going to Nebraska or North Dakota, which we hear that on occasion here.
State Representative Paul Anderson. Paul, sure appreciate your time once again here this week. We'll track you down and bug you next Thursday again, if that's okay.
Well, Joe, thank you much, and you have a good week, too.